You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following is a special presentation of The Lutheran Hour. What do Rose Parade floats in California, flood-damaged homes in Missouri, and rebuilt churches in Russia all have in common? They've all been touched by the hands of Christian volunteers. Today on this special program, we're going to set aside our regular format just for today so that we can focus on the subject of Christian volunteer service. You'll see how the gospel of Jesus Christ motivates Christians to lives of service. And our speaker, Dr. Dale Meyer, will encourage us all to make a New Year's resolution that can make a big difference in the year ahead. We call this special program, Resolved, More Service. For many people, it's a New Year's Day tradition to turn on the TV and watch the pageantry of the Tournament of Roses Parade, live from Pasadena, California. 1 million spectators will watch from along the parade route, with another 450 million in the worldwide television audience.
This year's entry from the Lutheran Layman's League is entitled Jesus, Lord at Thy Birth, and this actually became their Christmas card this year.
One of the mainstays of the parade for 44 years now has been the Lutheran Hour Float, a special project of the Southern California Lutheran Layman's League. The Lutheran Hour Float is the only unmistakably Christian float in the parade. The float is decorated entirely by hand, and that's the job of a very special group of volunteers called the Pedal Pushers. The work of decorating the Rose Parade float is a year-round effort of the Lutheran Hour Float Committee. The general chairman is Dick Gast. His wife Lynn chairs the Pedal Pushers, and to make this a family affair, the three Gast daughters are all experienced float decorators.
One of the things that oftentimes people don't understand is the floats are built already. And all we do is decorate them. So we don't design them. We don't do anything. We just decorate them. And it's almost like paint by numbers, if you will. The floats are already color coordinated. And all you do is tell people to put the brown bark on the brown section of the float.
The work of decorating begins in November with what are called dry days. Dry materials like seeds, bark, and dried flowers are glued to the floats. Then, starting the day after Christmas, the Pedal Pushers work 2 8-hour shifts a day. Altogether, it takes 5,000 volunteers. That's 500 workers per shift, 50 people per float. The work continues right up to the night before the parade, when live roses are placed on the floats, each rose in its own individual water vial. Lynn Gast is responsible for recruiting and coordinating the Pedal Pushers.
Every square inch of the floats must be covered by something that is natural, that was alive at one time. Now that could be seeds or pods or moss, grass. Anything you can imagine that was alive at one time is fair game. Some of the purples you see are status, where we literally cut off that eighth to a quarter of an inch of purple on status. It's a dry flower, and then we glue that little tiny, tiny petal on. That gives a purple look.
This year's Lutheran Hour float features an authentic first century fishing boat with a 25-foot sail. In addition to the Lutheran Hour float, the Pedal Pushers also decorated 9 other floats, including those representing such businesses and organizations as Delta Airlines, International House of Pancakes, the cities of Los Angeles and Arcadia, California, the city of St. Louis, Hawaii, El Salvador, and Mishima, Japan.
The popularity of coming down to decorate grew and grew to the point where we turned it into a fundraiser. There's two significant financial advantages, one of which is we've frozen the price of our float since we are the biggest decorating team in the whole parade. And then secondarily, every float that we decorate, that we contract for, and our contract right now reads 9, we get a rebate off of the Lutheran float.
The Lutheran Hour float is a self-funded project of the Southern California Lutheran Layman's League. The rest of the money comes from private donations, merchandise sales, a behind-the-scenes party, and a tour package for out-of-state visitors. But with all the details of organizing and decorating, Dick, Lynn, and the other pedal pushers never lose sight of one thing, the message.
Well, the message is, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. That is the exact message. And we feel that if Christ gives us that invitation and we have the opportunity to touch the hearts, we trust that the Holy Spirit will, in fact, finish the job. Our job is to plant seeds, and God has promised us that the harvest will be rich. So our job is simply to plant the seed, and with 450 million people, that's a lot of seeds.
The theme of this year's parade is sports, quest for excellence, and it required some gymnastics to put a Christian spin on sports.
Gosh, sports. Now what do we do for a Christian float? And our commitment as a float committee is that our floats will always be very obviously Christian. There was a lot of head scratching, and we sat, and a group of us met and came up with ideas, and some of the ideas were good, but none of us were totally satisfied with the idea, and all of a sudden, the idea of follow me and I will make you fishers of men came up, and we said, that's it, we've got it. Then what would we do with it? And we talked to the float builder and designer, and he followed through, in fact, researched even what type of boat would be authentic to the age. There will be no question when the float goes down the road, is it a Christian float or what's the message? Ours will stand out loud and clear because we only have a short time on TV. They can't have to think about it first.
Steve Christopher has been a pedal pusher for 21 years. He's worked just about every job there is to do, but this year he's been given a special promotion of sorts. That's because he's been chosen to portray Jesus Christ on this year's float. Steve Christopher is an associate professor of religious education and dean of Christ College at Concordia University, Irvine, California. He got started pedal pushing while he was still in high school.
There was a busload of kids, and we took off for Pasadena one afternoon and stayed through the evening. And that was probably when I was 16 years old. And we got a sweatshirt that said pedal pusher and had a rose on the front and the back. It said Rose Parade, the Lutheran Hour. And that became something that I wore with pride, even in the public high school setting, and drew the attention of a number of people because it said the Rose Parade, and I got to share my experience that I got to work on a float.
After college, Steve came back to Southern California and became a director of Christian education at a local congregation, where he had the privilege of introducing other young people to the fun of being volunteers.
That was exciting because I knew what these kids were going to experience. I had been there. Once they got there, an attitude change happened. They realized that what they were doing was vital, was important, and they could make a contribution, a very tangible contribution. I think that's why young people have especially enjoyed the experience, because most of the time we don't allow young people to make a contribution. We are preparing them for later contribution when they're an adult, when we don't realize the contribution they can make now in their teen years.
But decorating is only part of the pedal pusher purpose. Sharing the love of Christ goes right along with it.
What is a pedal pusher? That question is asked thousands of times in preparation for a Rose Parade. One particular experience comes to mind for me. I was standing in the Rose Palace, which is one of the buildings where the parade floats are built, and the Lutheran Hour float was in that particular building that year. And we had taken a break, and I'd walked up the gangplank to an observation area that was open to the public. And I'm standing up there. Next to me is a lady all dressed up, mink stole, makeup, the whole nine yards. And she says in a rather loud voice, looking at the people, she says, I wonder where they get those peons to work on these floats and how they get them to build that. And I hesitated, but I couldn't resist. I just kind of leaned over to her where she could see me, and I said, lady, we's the peons. Her response was, what do you do? How did you get to do that? And from an offhanded comment like that, I had a chance to tell her who I was, the fact that I was a minister in the church working with young people. We had 75 kids here working on the float, what the Lutheran Hour float was for, but the message the Lutheran Hour float was all about and who Jesus Christ really is.
In a way, pedal pushing has become a metaphor for the way in which all Christians work together to proclaim the message of Christ.
It's a message that has been since the time of St. Paul, being the body of Christ, that we all have a place in it. And pedal pushing gives you a chance to experience all of that, because everything is needed for that float to be complete. If somebody in a menial task didn't do their job, the float is incomplete.
This year, Steve Christopher will ride on the Lutheran Hour float as an actor, portraying the part of Jesus Christ calling to his disciples. Some may say that sounds like a hard job, playing Jesus on TV in front of millions of viewers, but Steve Christopher sees it differently.
Actually, my role on the float is easier than the role of the everyday Christian. I am simply in a nonverbal role. People see me, there's an image, there's no interaction. I will just be an image, but other Christians and myself, the day before and the day after the float, will have to be Jesus every day in the hardware store. We'll have to be Jesus every day with our neighbors. We'll have to be Jesus on the freeways and the subways and in the office and in the workplace, that we reflect Christ in our life, not just as a felt faith experience that's personal, but as a lived expression of what Jesus is to us and what he means as Lord and Savior and Redeemer.
You're listening to The Lutheran Hour, a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries. It's a long way from Pasadena, California to Valley Park, Missouri. It's a long way from the color, music, and fun of the Tournament of Roses parade to the mud, smell, and silence of a flood-ravaged home. But here, too, you'll also find joy, the joy of Christian service. Greg Smith is volunteer coordinator for Lutheran Disaster Response of Missouri. His background in construction, apartment management, and rehabbing prepared him for his volunteer work of organizing workers who go in and rebuild houses for families affected by the recent floods. Greg Smith tells how he got started.
Our church sends out servant teams every year. 2 years ago, I went with the group that went to South Florida, a little reluctant, but they needed people with skill, construction, truck driving, equipment handling, and we were shorthanded for enough adults, and we were the first youth group they were going to allow in. The flooding was still hadn't crested here, and we said, well, let's go find out how to deal with a disaster. This plan to go and do this had come about way before the flooding, so it just fell right into line that we went down, we learned, and came back and put it into operation here, what we learned from them.
The work is dirty and tough, and it requires an understanding of the recovery process.
There's five stages that people go through in a disaster. And when you're there early on, most of them are either in the grief stage or in a denial stage that there's even a problem. So you will find that you need to have good talkers, good listeners, that can help the people step by step give up the items. One older couple, a member from our church, worked with them an entire day. And it was first, okay, take the furniture out. Maybe an hour later, we'd go back over and they'd let us take the carpet out. You know, they weren't ready to give it up. You have to help them make the decision to do it. You can't just go in and tear their house apart. You have to let them make that decision and guide them to it. The people have to be able to do the ministry part. And that's the part that the average volunteer never learns.
Greg uses several well-chosen Bible passages to teach those values to his workers.
I start with Mark 4, 26 through 29. It's the parable of the grower. And you explain to him that, yes, you came here to help rebuild that house, but I want you to think about the people. I want you to not worry about just doing the job. I want you to put your hammer down and talk to them. I want you to listen to them. Let them tell you their story. In reality, what I'm sending you out to do is to be a farmer. I want you to plant the seeds of Christ.
Like Steve Christopher, Greg Smith also works with high school youth groups. Their experiences with disaster relief have taught them important lessons.
These kids have seen a day when we had no drywall, no paint, no nothing, and we knew we needed it. On a Thursday afternoon, we were going to go work someplace on a Friday and had a phone call come in Thursday at 4 o'clock. We'll have a tractor trailer load delivered to the place you're working. Heard you needed it. These are the stories about God supplying his people as they work. And that peace comes over people as they learn it.
Everyone can serve, even if they don't have construction skills.
You don't have to be able to do just the hammering. That's really the small part of the job. I would rather see hammers set down on a regular basis and work with the people, because the house will get rebuilt. There's enough people out there to get that job done, but to get the life back in order, that's the hard part.
Greg also wants to focus his workers' attention on the needs of their next-door neighbors.
I try to reach them more than I do the people whose home I'm rebuilding, because I want them to go back as a servant. I want them to open their eyes and their heart and look around them. The mission field is your own backyard. We in Valley Park built several homes with wheelchair ramps and things like that that never had them. Look in your own backyard for the lady that's maybe carrying a child down the steps of her house and putting them in the wheelchair on the sidewalk. You know how to build the ramp. Go home. Open your eyes to the suffering in your own neighborhood and reach out and touch them. You don't have to travel 500 miles to serve. You can do it right outside the parking lot of your own church.
For Greg Smith and the other volunteers of Lutheran Disaster Response, service means sharing the gift of salvation.
The way I look at it is that he's given me this gift. I know where I'm going. There's no doubt. I don't know the path he'll take me, but I know where I will end up. I will end up in heaven with him. What I tell people is what you're out here doing is demonstrating your faith and thanking God for the gift he already gave you. Thanking God for that gift and sharing that gift with others in hopes that the seed that you plant will grow and ripen and they will become part of God's harvest.
You're listening to a special New Year's presentation of The Lutheran Hour. And now here is our speaker, Dr. Dale Meyer.
You've heard our guests talk about their experiences in service. Some of their service has been the kind that gets media attention. For other people, there's been little attention. But for all, it is service that God sees and that delights his heart. That's because the heart of God is to do for us and our needs. God has demonstrated that from the very beginning. The creation of the world was an amazing event. God created something outside of himself. He created our world, and he made us. Service goes beyond ourselves, just as God did in creation, and just as he did in our redemption. The Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, said that he did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. And still today, God goes beyond himself to serve us. The Holy Spirit goes out from the Father and the Son to plant in the hearts of people an attitude that is nothing less than the mind of Christ. Have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had, says St. Paul. Although he existed in the form of God, he did not consider his being equal with God as a prize to be displayed. Instead, when he became like other human beings, he emptied himself, taking on the form of a servant. When he appeared as a man, he became obedient and humbled himself even to the point of death. Yes, death on a cross. That is why God also very highly exalted him and gave him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, everyone in heaven and on earth and under the earth should kneel, and that everyone should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's what you've heard in the testimonies of our guests today. The Spirit of God plants in the hearts of people the mind of a servant, the mind of Christ. That's the way God would have it be. It strikes me that we sometimes do a strange thing when we talk about faith. A person is justified by faith, apart from the works of the law, says St. Paul. Since the Bible says it, it's true, and we believe it. But sometimes it seems that we have so stressed faith that we put the works of the law out of our mind. However, the Bible doesn't tell us to neglect the works of the law. It only says that you won't be saved by doing them. We should do them. The law of God, being God's law, is good. It should delight our heart. And good works to help others should be the Christian's calling. Think of Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, verses we love. By his grace you are saved through faith. It was not your own doing, it is God's gift. It is not the result of anything you have done, and so no one may boast. To that great truth, we have no objection. But how easily we forget the next verse, Ephesians 2, verse 10. For he has made us what we are, creating us in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. There are good works out there yet to be done, and some of them won't be done unless you do them. The most important works seldom catch the attention of the media. The mother who invests in her children more time and energy than she seems to have, but the Christian mother draws that strength from God. The father who won't let his career totally absorb him, but seeks the help of God's Spirit to lead a balanced life of work, family, and church. Retired people who thank God for the time that they have and employ it to His glory and the good of others. They're not cashing in on their life. In retirement, they're sharing the dividends of faith. And so it goes. Faith, given to us by God. Faith, through which we alone are saved. Faith, active in good works. Martin Luther said it this way, "Oh, it is a living, busy, active, mighty thing, this faith. It is impossible for it not to be doing good works incessantly. It does not ask whether good works are to be done, but before the question is asked, it has already done them and is constantly doing them. Faith is a living, daring confidence in God, so sure and certain that the believer would stake his life on it 1,000 times. This knowledge of and confidence in God's grace makes men glad and bold and happy in dealing with God and with all creatures. And this is the work which the Holy Spirit performs in faith. Because of it, without compulsion, a person is ready and glad to do good to everyone, to serve everyone, to suffer everything, out of love and praise to God who has shown him this grace. Thus it is impossible to separate works from faith." Precisely that is happening today. You've heard it from our guests, people of faith, and at the same time, people of service. I trust you can see it in your family, your neighborhood, your church and community. God hasn't walked away from the world. His Spirit is still bringing us the good news of Christ and urging us to action. Let us resolve, therefore, to live lives of more service. Amen.
This month, we're offering our listeners a free booklet titled, "Why Do We Suffer?" For your free copy, call the Lutheran Hour toll-free at 1-800-876-9880 or write The Lutheran Hour, St. Louis, Missouri, 63139. If you've moved recently and you're looking for a new church home, we'd like to help you find a caring Christian congregation in your area. Again, that toll-free number is 1-800-876-9880. Next week, we'll return to our regular programming as Dr. Dale Meyer takes a look at the issues of crime and conscience.
We thank you for being with us today. We hope you are resolved to a life of more service in the new year. And since that resolve is best given by God, please join me in prayer. O God, our Heavenly Father, thank you for the good we have received throughout the years. We have benefited from the countless good works of people in our lives. May we repay in our own lives that good which we have received. May our motivation not be only repayment, but also thankfulness to you for all the good that you have shown us through our Savior Christ, through the saving work of the Holy Spirit, and yes, through the good works of Christians around us. Give us a glad new year, one that is marked by firm resolve to glorify you through lives of more service to others. Amen.
We hope today's special has in some way helped to spark your interest in volunteer service. But now what? Well, stay with us for the next few minutes as we look at some volunteer opportunities in the new year. Once again, here is Dr. Dale Meyer.
Thank you, Mark. Joining us in the studio today are two gentlemen from our staff, and they're here to tell us about specific ways that we can be involved with volunteer service. I'd like to introduce to you listeners Mr. Joe Collette, who is Director of Volunteer Opportunities. Joe, welcome.
Hello, Dale. Glad to be here.
And if you have a passport that's up to date, you can also explore volunteer opportunities in other countries. And with us to talk about that is Reverend Rudy Schaeser, who is our Manager of International Volunteer Services. Welcome to you, Rudy.
Hi.
Let's start with volunteer opportunities in North America. Joe, tell us about them.
Delighted to tell you about Amazing Grace Lutheran Church in Grand Rapids, Michigan, Dale. It's a mission church that was founded by the Grand Rapids area Lutheran churches. It's a coalition of churches that purchased a no longer used hospital facility, and it's going to be refurbished so that the space is available for the worship center of this mission church. We hope to renovate the entire facility and rent it. We don't need people with tremendous skills here. This is pretty simple stuff. We need people that can scrape paint from walls and paint those walls and then repair and replace drop ceilings, tasks of that sort. We think it's a wonderful opportunity for people to work shoulder to shoulder with people in a mission to realize the kinds of things that the gospel can do when it lives in people and works in an inner city setting.
Let's take our passports and fly overseas to Eastern Europe. Rudy, tell us about some of the projects there.
We're presently planning projects for Slovakia, Russia, and Germany. Two quick stories which may give you a taste for what you're in for. In Gatchina, Russia, where our volunteers helped the members of St. Nicholas Lutheran Congregation repaint and restore their church building, Lorna Menzel is a fourth grade teacher for Metairie, Louisiana. As the group was about to leave, the congregation hosted a farewell tea comprised of meager fare. We're talking tomatoes, cucumbers, onions, some bread. They presented our women with scarves and said, "As you wrap these scarves around your shoulders, may you be reminded of our love embracing you." Lorna Menzel said, "I have never cried over a steak dinner in this country, but I cried over cucumbers and tomatoes."
Oh, wow, that's great.
On the Polish side of Gubin, Germany, is a hospital in Gubin, Poland. A Polish journalist approached our group, asked group member Doris Schneider, "Why are you folks doing this?" Doris replied, "Well, we're trying to be like the Christ. We're trying to learn to be servants." The journalist paused for a while, and then he said, "We've heard a lot said about brotherhood. This is the first time we've seen it."
I'm also reminded that service is not necessarily martyrdom. There are a lot of blessings that come back to the person who acts as a servant in this life. So this is phenomenal. I think that many of our listeners would want to be involved in such projects, you know, but what do they do? Can they get involved? And Joe, you're smiling at me. Answer the question.
Real simple. Call us at 1-800-944-3450. Ask for volunteer opportunities and you'll get one of us on the phone. Bring your life skills.
That's super, and I hope that many of you listeners will do just that. Thank you to Joe. Thank you to Rudy. Thanks to all of our listeners for being with us today. May you have not only a happy new year, but a new year that is blessed by Christian service for the glory of God and the good of other people.
That phone number Mr. Collette mentioned is 1-800-944-3450 and ask for volunteer opportunities. Once again, that's 1-800-944-3450. Ask for volunteer opportunities. And from all of us here at Lutheran Hour Ministries, we wish you a blessed new year.